Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I thought we were going to have the soft lighting. Some people put upon themselves to just turn it up. Yes, so devotees, let us just recount a few of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes while he was here with us on this planet. Actually, let us begin with a very serious one. Let us begin with a very serious one. There was a devotee whose name was Nandakumar Das. Not the one that we all know from Johannesburg, but another Nandakumar, who actually was a sannyasi for a little while. And for a while he was serving. He was like Srila Prabhupada's personal servant. Let me just locate this. So, this devotee, Nandakumar, he had just joined Srila Prabhupada's party as, like, the main secretary. And it was extremely busy. It was very, very busy from just morning till night. And yes, sometimes from very early morning to very late night, it was really very demanding, actually. So he was trying his best, but one morning, and it may have been the first, anyway, one of the first nights at least, Nandakumar had not been able to finish his 16 rounds. He had managed 14 by about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and he was really fatigued from such active service and such sort of mentally demanding service. So he thought, well, it's all right. I will take rest, and tomorrow I will chant two extra rounds. It was the first time, he said, in his life in Krishna consciousness, he had not finished 16 rounds. So early the next morning, first thing, straight into Srila Prabhupada's room, and offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, take a guess. So Are you chanting all your rounds? Are you chanting all your rounds? And Nankuma told him that, well, yes, I am, I always do, but yesterday for the first time, I couldn't quite finish, there's two rounds left, but I'm going to make them up today. And Srila Prabhupada gave very powerful instruction. Listen to this. When you are regularly chanting 16 rounds, it is like a young child learning to walk with the help of the mother. Because the mother is holding the child's hand, when the child starts to fall, the mother holds him up, and he doesn't actually fall. It is the same with chanting. Srila Prabhupada is explaining this. If you are completing 16 rounds and you start to fall down, Krishna will hold you up and not allow that to happen. Then Srila Prabhupada, with his eyes open very wide and with a transcendental move of his hand back and forth, his divine grace said, however, if you are not chanting at least 16 rounds every day, your whereabouts are unknown, and you will definitely fall down. Some food for thought. So, yeah, please take it seriously. Srila Prabhupada took it extremely seriously. So that's a very serious story of Srila Prabhupada. Here, one day Prabhupada said, I have given you this big ISKCON movement. If you can, please expand it, he said. At least maintain it. Don't let it decrease. Then he said, please cooperate, as he had said so many times before. And then Prabhupada started to cry. Everyone in the room started crying. It's the devotee who's describing this. That was probably the most painful moment of my life, to see Prabhupada crying. So we have this movement. It's Prabhupada's movement. We have the good, we have the bad, and we have the ugly. But we just have to be determined to never leave the ISKCON movement. We just have to always try to push it forward. If there's a problem, push the movement forward. Because when you leave ISKCON, you make Prabhupada cry. So let's make Prabhupada happy and push on Krishna consciousness. One devotee was speaking to Prabhupada and explaining that there are many difficulties in his ISKCON, and that particular devotee was having problems in different ways. And Srila Prabhupada responded, whatever happens, don't leave his ISKCON. And Prabhupada repeated very famous old British saying, it is like England with all thy faults, I love thee. If you've been around this movement for a little time, a little while already, then you would know by now, every now and then there's a little hiccup somewhere in your life, even sometimes on a larger scale. The movement in some part of the world is challenged. So Prabhupada said, this material world is described as an ocean. Often in the ocean there are storms and one may become seasick. But that doesn't mean you should jump off the boat. It will make things worse. And here's something, this is directly from Prabhupada. It's actually from a purport of Srila Prabhupada's in exactly the same vein. In fact, it's from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 7, if you want to make a note of, look it up afterwards. It's a very important statement. So, it's the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, in the verse, has just said he always wants to be in the association of devotees. So, the purport Srila Prabhupada says, the significant point in Dhruva Maharaj's statement is that he wanted the association of pure devotees. Transcendental devotional service cannot be complete and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. We have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone who has tried to be aloof from this Krishna Consciousness Society and yet engage in Krishna Consciousness is living in a great hallucination, for this is not possible. So I've just read these various little pieces to sober us, to start off with. Though anyone who's trying to be aloof, Prabhupada says, from this Krishna Consciousness Society, is actually meaning ISKCON. But they think they're engaging in Krishna Consciousness. It's simply a great hallucination. Here's something in a little bit in lighter mood, but it's also very serious, but it's very, very nice. Now, you may possibly have heard the story before. It's quite possible, at least. It was just shortly before Srila Prabhupada left this world. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He was completely bedridden and basically, anyway, his condition was really quite extreme. And the devotees, practically the whole day and the whole night, devotees went to Prabhupada's room. If you're familiar with the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, means the big front room. When you just enter, you go through a little foyer and then into the right, and there's Prabhupada's main big room where his bed is, and that's where he left this world. So, and that's where he was at this particular time that we're talking about. So the devotees, the mood is just very sober, very grey, very serious. There's just no laughing or frivolity at all. And the kirtan is going on, and Prabhupada's lying on his bed. And who should come in but his godbrother, Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada's relationships with his godbrothers, let's not get into it, but it was often not really so nice as I'm sure he would have liked it to be. But with this particular godbrother, as I understand, the relationship was generally actually very nice. At least they had a very warm relationship. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj appreciated Prabhupada very sincerely. So Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he was a very jolly fellow. He just came in and just jumped on Prabhupada's bed and sat on the bed and started talking to Srila Prabhupada in a very animated way, occasionally waving a hand and arm and laughing. And Srila Prabhupada, who had been up to that point that day in the very brave mood that we mentioned, Prabhupada suddenly just brightened up and started smiling and also laughing a little. And so there was an exchange between them in Bengali for perhaps 5 minutes back and forth. Suddenly, Prabhupada stopped and turned to the disciples who were sitting right next to the bed, or close to the bed, and he pointed at them. And Srila Prabhupada said, Tandira Charanasi Bhakta Sadevas Janame Janame Koi E Abhinas. This is a line from a song of Srila Narottam Thakur. Tandira Charanasi, all I want to do is serve the lotus feet of the devotees and Bhakta Sadevas, live in the company of the devotees. Janame Janame Goy, birth after birth, A Abhinas, that's my only desire. So he said this in a very pointed way, while pointing to the devotees. And then he turned back to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, and that fairly animated conversation continued for another 5 minutes or some number of minutes, and fairly jolly, smiling, some laughing, and each one saying different things. Suddenly, after perhaps 5 minutes, Prabhupada again stopped. The conversation stopped. And Prabhupada again pointed to his disciples and said, Tandira Charanasi Bhakta Sadevas Janame Janame Koi E Abhinas. Exactly the same thing. I just want the association of devotees to serve the devotees, live in their association. And this is my only desire, birth after birth. And then he turned back to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And again, the same thing as we said, just the same thing. Like a happy discussion and some laughing and joking. Like that. And then suddenly after some more minutes, Prabhupada stopped again and pointed to the disciples again and said, Tandira Charanasi Bhakta Sadevas Janame Janame Koi E Abhinas, third time. So all these lessons and all these things, all these different narrations about Prabhupada's activities and things he's done and things he's said, and we should really take this to heart. To always engage in the service of the devotees. Live in the company of devotees. And that, for that to be our only desire and nothing else. Even we may have to tolerate, like I'm sure some of you, working with non-devotees, but at heart, your heart should always be with the devotees, in the company of the devotees. meditating, remembering the devotees, and particularly Prabhupada. And just like this, and we go through the motions if we have to do some work, and we try to be pleasant if we have to associate with the non-devotees, but we don't get absorbed in it. Here's another one, let's see here. It's a nice little story. From London. From just before I joined the movement, actually, so I was not there. But, and Prabhupada was staying in the temple, the first temple in Berry Place, means just right in the center of London. And every morning, as was Prabhupada's practice, just every day and everywhere, Srila Prabhupada would go out for a morning walk. So, let's see. One morning, well, there in central London, right in the heart, there are a number of parks. There are a number of parks you can just walk to from Berry Place. And there are other parks which are also not far away, like Regent's Park, which is a very famous park, big park, pretty much in the center of London. So one time, this one devotee, unfortunately I don't know who it was, his name is not here, but he's telling the story. He was walking with Srila Prabhupada in Regent's Park, and it was sort of summery type of time. There were flowers growing, and so this devotee asked Prabhupada, when we offer, well, there were flowers growing around because it was summer. When we offer flowers to Krishna, do their spirit souls go back to the spiritual world? That's an interesting meditation, an interesting thought. Srila Prabhupada remained silent a while and then answered, yes, but factually, they're already in the kingdom of God. He stopped and waved his walking stick around, pointing to some of the birds, the people, and the flowers in the park. And Prabhupada said, they're all in the kingdom of God. So the devotee said that as he was beginning to understand the perspective of Prabhupada in saying that, he said, yes, yes, Srila Prabhupada, but they're not aware that they're in the kingdom of God. And Prabhupada replied, that is the duty of a spiritual master, to make them aware. Another time, the same devotee, you know, I don't know who it was, maybe, anyway, I don't know. Prabhupada was visiting Scotland. We had a temple there in Edinburgh, and Prabhupada was staying there. That's the place where the famous incident happened, which I'm sure you've heard of. A couple of incidents. One was, there was one bathroom for the men, with one toilet and one shower. And Prabhupada, and you know, Prabhupada was visiting, there were not many devotees at all living in the temple, in 5 or 6, or I'm sure less than 10. So there was a queue, and Srila Prabhupada joined the queue. And the devotees saw Srila Prabhupada at the back of the queue, offered their obeisances, very nice, got up again and stayed in their places in the queue. with Prabhupada at the back of the queue. Anyway, that's interesting, isn't it? Then one of the Prabhupada was there a few days, and one of the days Prabhupada shaved, but he had not brought shaving equipment, so the devotees had to suddenly, quickly locate some shaving equipment. And there are different brands. You know, everyone's heard of Gillette, but there are other brands, Wilkinson, so there's a few brands of just hand shavers. So one devotee somehow located a razor, put a new blade in, gave it to Prabhupada, some shaving foam. Prabhupada started shaving one time, then on the same place a second time, then on the same place a third time, and in between he touched it, the skin, to see how the hair was being removed, but it wasn't. So three times. Then he looked at the shaving instrument and the blade, and Prabhupada said, "This is not Gillette. This is bonus." So anyway, when he was there in that temple in Edinburgh for a few days, you know, it's Scotland, and it's really a very northern part of the northern hemisphere, so you hardly get a summer, and you get a pretty heavy winter. I mean, a long winter. So he was sitting in his room, and it was outside, it was grey and just overcast and just dismal. Suddenly, the clouds parted, and a shaft of sunlight just came right through the window and illuminated just one part of the room, like quite brightly. And Prabhupada pointed at it with a wave of his hand. He said, "When you become Krishna conscious, it is just like that." Here's an interesting story, which I don't know if you're familiar with or not, but let's see. Perhaps some of you have heard of, maybe some of you met, His Holiness Sridhara Swami Maharaj, disciple of Prabhupada. A very nice devotee, just extremely nice. And very jolly. They used to call him the Jolly Swami. First of all, for his first so many years in his life, he was a brahmachari. And he was, first of all, in America, but then he went to India, and then he lived in Bombay, in the Bombay temple, for quite some years. So one day when Prabhupada was there, Sridhar Das Brahmachari approached Prabhupada and said that, "I would like to take sannyas. Would you please be kind enough to give me sannyas initiation?" Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Are you 100% sure you will not fall down?" Sridhar Maharaj, very humble and honest devotee, Sridhar Das Brahmachari, said, "No, I'm not 100% sure." Prabhupada said, "Are you 75% sure you can maintain sannyas?" Sridhar Das Brahmachari said, "No, I'm not sure. I'm not 75% sure I can maintain sannyas." Prabhupada said, Are you 50% sure you can maintain 7 hours? And Sridhar Prabhu said, yes, Prabhupada, I think 50% I can maintain 7 hours. And Prabhupada said, all right, I will give you 7 hours. If you're 50% sure. And actually, you maintained his service very nicely. Here's a story you may not be familiar with. I hope none of you, is anyone here attached to Chinmayananda? From up the road side? Is it Unit 6 or wherever it is, Unit 9? I don't want to offend anyone. There was a devotee, unfortunately passed away, actually visited here once, maybe 10 years ago or something. Sri Nakji does. Have you heard of him? From Bombay. And he wasn't initiated by Prabhupada, although he knew he was associating regularly with Prabhupada. But he didn't get initiated by Prabhupada. Later he was initiated by Radhanath Maharaj. So when he first started associating with Prabhupada, he was a member of the Chinmayananda mission. You know, we are not opposed to them. Okay? Actually, we are. But anyway. It's an interesting story. I mean, not them, but their message. So, and this Chinmayananda, he was close to Chinmayananda. He was like a personal associate. And would visit him regularly. I think perhaps even on a daily basis. And discuss and converse. And Chinmayananda said he was God. So then Srinathji Prabhu met Srila Prabhupada and was very impressed, deeply moved by Prabhupada's association, but still involved with Chinmayananda. And visiting him regularly, and so he was really caught between the two. So one day Prabhupada asked him, so what is his philosophy? What does he say? And Srinathji Prabhu explained how this gentleman says he's God. And Prabhupada said, tell him, I am sending him a challenge. I'm sending him a challenge. If there is a table in his room, he must lift it with one hand and hold it for 7 minutes. So Srinathji Prabhu went back to, maybe I should mention his name, to this gentleman and said, you know, Swami Prabhupada, he has issued this challenge to you. And of course there was a table in the room. He wants you to lift this table with one hand and hold it in the air, hold it right up for 7 minutes. Can you do that, please? And the gentleman said that, he said, how is that possible? That's ridiculous. And so Srinathji Prabhu immediately on the spot rejected him. And he came back to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it on the little finger of his left hand for 7 days and 7 nights. See, he is in a different category. So yeah, since then, Srinathji Prabhu severed all his relationships with that gentleman and surrendered to Prabhupada, really surrendered wholeheartedly to Srila Prabhupada. Let's see what next. All right, here is, we will tell you a story. Here is a story for the Matajis. Matajis, wake up. I mean, you don't stand up, they're just tuning. Tune right in here. Because this is a story for the Matajis. Here we go. This is from Mother Malati, who's very, very senior devotee. Actually, she's a GEC member. And she also had so much association with Prabhupada. And she visited here, actually. So maybe she told the story. And you know it already. But anyway, that's okay. So, Malati Devi Dasi was cooking for Srila Prabhupada. From time to time, she'd cook. One time, Srila Prabhupada, there was a big pandal festival, sort of like a tent campaign, you could say, but on a very big scale, under like a type of a tent. And it went on for some days in a central place in Delhi, in New Delhi. And Malati Devi Dasi was cooking for Srila Prabhupada every day, cooking lunch. And that the room that she was using was always flooded with at least, you know, like 2 inches, say 5 centimeters of water. And as a good Vaishnavi engaged in service to her spiritual master, what was she wearing? No, she was wearing a sari. But you know saris, there's certain occupational hazards when wearing them, particularly if you're wearing them in a flooded room. And there was no table in the whole room. There was a little cooker with little, the legs were like that, you know, say 15 or 20 centimeters, and it was just standing in the water. And she had to crouch. So she was just like permanently crouched for an hour or more, cooking lunch for Prabhupada every day. As a result, particularly around her ankles and like the lower legs, the sari would just become saturated, completely saturated. And this bothered her. It really bothered her. It was kind of uncomfortable and just sort of not the right thing at all. So one of the days she was out buying vegetables in some market nearby, and there was a lady's clothing type of stand. It was like an open market. And there she saw they were selling what they call, they're from Rajasthan, ghagras. You know what a ghagra is? Some of you seem to. It's a type of skirt from the waist down. and multicolored, you know, colorful, slightly flamboyant looking type of dress. So she thought, oh, look at that. That's just what I need. Then it won't get wet, and I'll be able to cook more comfortably and hurry ball. So she bought one. It was red, green, blue, and yellow with little mirrors. So there she was now, crouching, but it was easier to sort of tuck it up and hold it up so it wouldn't go down around her feet. And it was dry. And she was, you know, life was good. And of course, Prabhupada never came in to check on her when she was cooking. So when she bought it, she remembered that and she thought, no problem. It's a little, you know, unusual. But Prabhupada never comes in, so he won't see it. And as soon as I'm finished, I'll put the sari on again. And hurry on, hurry on. So Prabhupada never came in, but then he came in. And there she was, crouching down with this colorful mirror-covered gagra skirt. And Prabhupada stopped and stared at her and uttered in a not very appreciative manner, with a slight shake of his head, "What is this?" And she says, "If it was possible to drown in 2 inches of water, I would have drowned on the spot." Needless to say, that was the end of that experiment. And she went ecstatically back to wet around the ankles, saris, and petticoats. Hari Bol. Here's another story for the ladies. And you likely heard this, it's a somewhat well-known story. There's one very senior Mataji, Lakshmi Moni Devi Dasi. She was with Srila Prabhupada. Let's see. Where were they? They were in Texas. Dallas, Texas. The deity there is Radha Kalachanji. So, she showed them, one day she spoke to Prabhupada and said, "Wouldn't it be nice if Kalachanji Krishna had conch shell eyes?" You know, here our deities have painted eyes, but you see deities in Vrindavan and different places here and there. Their eyes, they're actually cut out of conch shell and painted, you know, like the pupil is painted. So she asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Yes, perhaps." Prabhupada stayed there for some days. She found some conch shell eyes, she showed them to Prabhupada. He said, "Yes, perhaps." But he didn't ask, "Please put them on." So the next day she asked him, "Prabhupada, shall we put on the conch shell eyes?" And Prabhupada said, Perhaps. But he didn't ask for them to be put on. The next day she asked, "Srila Prabhupada, Shall we put on the crutch-shell eyes you seem to like them? And again, he's like, none can at all. Perhaps. And then the next day, well, Prabhupada said, actually, his eyes are fine just the way they are. But then the next time she decided to ask him, she said, Prabhupada, you know, if you want me to put those crutch-shell eyes on Kalachanji, I will. And Prabhupada looked at her and shouted, I am Prabhupada, and I am telling you what I want. Kalachanji's eyes are fine just the way they are. Okay. Here now, what am I going to do? How about a story or maybe two about prasada? Seeing what in 10 minutes some prasada will be distributed. There's one devotee, very nice devotee, his name is Tejas Prabhu, and he's still active in Prabhupada's movement. He's in India. He was the temple president of our Delhi temple. So, and it was a very small temple, actually. I went there once in those days. It was a flat. You know, if you can imagine a typical kind of lower middle class Indian flat. It's small and just, you know, very, at best, utilitarian. And he was the president, and there were just a handful of other devotees there. One day, the cook became sick. Prabhupada's cook. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you know, if you've ever met Tejas, have you met Tejas? Yeah. He's a very conservative person. He never sort of blurts things out. He's always, you know, very cool and taking it easy, not getting carried away. So Prabhupada approached Tejas Prabhu and explained that the cook, my cook is sick. Could you please cook for me? He asked Tejas Prabhu, can you cook umma? Imagine you know what is umma. It's like halava with veggies and spices and less sugar. More sugar is always nice, but anyway, it's like a savory halava, you could say, kind of thing. Umma. Can you make umma? Tejas Prabhu replied, somewhat. Somewhat. You know, very reserved. So that was lunchtime. For lunchtime, that was in the morning. He's meant to cook lunch. So there was just around the corner, not far away at all, maybe like 150 meters away. There was a super duper vegetarian restaurant, like. You've heard of 5-star. It was about 7 or 8-star. It was really just super exotic. So Tejas Prabhu went there and spoke with the head cook and got a recipe for umma from the heavenly planets. Just out of this world umma. And he cooked it for Srila Prabhupada. It's one of these umas. You know how sometimes when the devotees cook beans, or different things, but beans, I've seen it, a number of times. And on top, everything settles for a while, and on top is about an inch of, in South Africa, it's usually oil. I want to be an inch of oil. Yeah. Multi-grade. Anyway, okay. So, in this case, there was about an inch of ghee on the top. And it was, you know, spiced in extravagant ways. Sugar. Enough sugar. And Tejas Prabhu personally served it to Srila Prabhupada. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he ate lunch, this was simply Umba alone. Normally you have sabji, chapati, rice dal. But this was simply Umba, and just very rich, just too rich Umba. Tejas Prabhu served him like a sort of moderate plate of Umba. And Prabhupada took a mouthful and went, and took another mouthful and went, and then he started eating fairly quickly, which was unusual for Prabhupada. Prabhupada ate everything. Normally he'd eat a half or three quarters of what was on the plate. This time he ate everything. And even ran his finger across to the plate to get some of the oil. And licked his finger. And then Prabhupada asked, is there any more? This was really unusual for Prabhupada to have more. It was unusual. But he asked, is there more? Yes, Prabhupada. So another similar moderate sized serving of Umma. And again, Prabhupada was eating in that sort of quite spirited way. And Prabhupada ate it all. The second helping, the whole lot. This is just unheard of. And again, ran his finger through the plate to get some of the oil. And then Prabhupada asked, is there any more? And so Tejas served him everything that was there, which was just another sort of moderate, normal type of helping. Prabhupada ate it all. The next morning, the devotees noticed Srila Prabhupada did not get up to translate. He got up late, like 6 o'clock. But he went on his morning walk, straight after getting up. But now, this morning, Prabhupada is walking slowly. Normally, his morning walk was brisk. It wasn't a stroll, it was exercise. And I'm sure you've heard it said that sometimes his young disciples who were in their 20s would struggle to keep up with him. But this day, he was walking slowly. He walked a little way, and he stopped. And as he did, he put his walking stick down. Normally he sort of go a little bit like bang, firmly push down the walking stick. This time just gently he put it down. And Prabhupada said, to the devotees gathered around. Tejas was there, and you know, a few sannyasis and other senior devotees, several or eight or whatever devotees were there. Prabhupada turned and looked at them, not at Tejas. And Prabhupada said, "That boy who cooked the umma for lunch yesterday, he tried to poison me." The devotees were in shock. Tejas was in shock. The devotees looked at him like, what is this? What is this? Then Prabhupada said, yes. The umma was so nice, I ate too much, and now my stomach is upset. Hare Krishna. Well, okay, it's just about time, really. Here's another, just very brief one. It will take 1 minute or less. Tejas is temple president in Delhi, and he was a preacher. Whenever he could, he'd go out and enroll life members and preach to people and, you know, get them involved in Krishna consciousness. And when Prabhupada was there, Prabhupada, like house programs would be organized for wealthy people and people like important people. And he would go along with Prabhupada to the programs. So one time they're having a program in one very big man's very big house. And Prabhupada introduced Tejas to the very big man. And Srila Prabhupada told the gentleman, and Tejas is right there, "This is Tejas Das, our temple president in Delhi. He is very intelligent. He has very big ears." And Tejas thought, what? A sign of intelligence. Have you mentioned? Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada's Mr. Jan's Day Festival ki. Gopriyande. Hari Bhav. Mahaprasad.